Although I am a member of the Church of Satan, I do not speak for the Church of Satan.
What the world needs is a good whipping.
God is dead! Satan lives!
I can assure you, Satanism is here to stay.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to The Demented One. I am your host, as always, Blake. And man, do I have an awesome show this evening. Magister Bob Johnson is on the show tonight. It was a great interview. I had a lot of fun doing it. Let's see, what's been going on? Well, actually, last night I have... Has anyone ever been to a tractor pull? Last night I went with the family. It was my very first time ever going to one of these things. And I must say, I would rather watch paint dry than sit there and watch this. I mean, it was freaking crazy and the most boringest thing in the world. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking, well, Blake, you're from the South, you must love that kind of stuff. No. And I've done and seen a lot of country shit, but that is the first time for me, and I don't think I would ever go back. It was the most boringest thing in the world, and I can't even really explain what a tractor pull is still. And I was there. Basically, there's these tractors, and they're pulling these big, heavy trailers behind them on this little half a mile of dirt runway. And I would advise for you not to go if you ever have the choice of going or not going. But hey, it's up to you. If you want to waste a couple hours of your life, then go. It's all up to you. And hey, maybe some of you out there love going to these things. I don't know. But for me personally, I don't think I'll ever be back at a tractor pull. Anyway. Let's see, what else this evening? Oh, if you have not, of course, already subscribed to The Demented One on YouTube, go ahead and go over there and hit subscribe. If you haven't followed The Demented One on Facebook or Twitter, make sure you are following those accounts. And because, of course, I give updates, upcoming shows, all kind of information is put up on those social media platforms. And if you listen to, you know, strictly just podcasts, then of course we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all your major podcast platforms. So other than that, I think that's it, guys. Like I said, it was a lot of fun interviewing Magister Bob Johnson. He's a down-to-earth guy and a very smart guy, and it was a lot of fun. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Magister Bob Johnson. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Blake, and welcome to The Demented One. Robert, welcome.
Blake, how are you, my friend? It's good to speak with you again, and thank you for having me on your show.
Definitely, man. How have you been? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been years, you know, getting up there a little bit, but doing well. You know, have a bunch of stuff going on in the satanic community. The Warlock Academy is doing real well, and grooming men into the ideas of what masculinity should be. So that's keeping me very busy.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I've been keeping updates, and of course, you know, I get the emails that the Satanic Warlock sends out and all that. So always excited to get those. If you don't mind, Robert, for people that's, you know, maybe been living under a rock and don't really know much about you, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and kind of where you come from?
Of course. As long as this isn't being taped by the FBI, I'm kidding.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, the short, long story is regarding Satanism. I used to be the editor of High Society magazine back in the 90s, which was an adult magazine for men. And I've interviewed Dr. Anton LaVey back then. And my history with Satanism goes way back, as most people do. You know, usually in our teens, we get the Satanic Bible and we start to read it and we say, you know, this stuff makes sense.
Right.
This is how I live my life. Everything else is pretty much bullshit. So this is the way I want to live. And it made a lot of sense to me. And what's better than having a religion with naked women as altars? I mean, how do you beat that?
Absolutely.
So it started back in my teens. And then when I finally met Dr. LaVey and interviewed him, I became friends. And it was quite an awakening, not so much an awakening, but a revisit of what I always believed in the satanic philosophy, and how it just gives people a guiding philosophy and credo to live life to the fullest, live life karma, which means embrace things that make us happy, the fleshy life, things that destroy. Because after all, Blake, as you well know, this is the one and only. So
right.
We have to be Epicurean in all of our tastes.
Mm-hmm.
After I met Dr. LaVey, I'll just give you a little brief background on how I wrote The Satanic Warlock, which is the companion to The Satanic Witch, or The Complete Witch, as it was originally called. Mm-hmm. We started talking about, and this was in the 90s, about the changing mores and how men were beginning to change and radical feminism and things like that. And it wasn't as prevalent as it is today, but it started. So I asked Dr. LaVey, why haven't you ever written a companion book to The Satanic Witch? And he was quite frank with it. And he said, well, I didn't think it was needed because, you know, men were pretty much knew their place, so to speak. They knew how to be men. And the ones who did just kind of didn't want to be bothered with them anyway.
Right.
But that was beginning to change. And he recognized it. And I think that it's probably needed, and it's going to be needed in the next couple decades. And he agreed. And he said to me quite honestly, well, why don't you write it? You know, he was kind of impressed with what I had to say. And I said, that's something to think about. Well, it took some years. It took over a decade more to really think about it and jot down my ideas and solidify the philosophy and the manifesto of the Satanic Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2014, in a meeting with Magus Gilmore and High Priestess Nedramia, I brought up the subject again. I said, you know, I think I'm ready. I don't think. I knew I was ready to write The Satanic Warlock. And they agreed. And they put their blessing, so to speak, on the idea. And I began writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how The Satanic Warlock was born.
Nice. Which is a great book, you know.
Thank you.
Saying the least, so yeah.
Yeah, the second edition is out now on Lulu, LULU.com, which includes a lot of my newsletters and some updates, which the first book did not have.
Okay, cool. Now, Robert, I want to just ask real quick on the book. Have you got any, I guess, pushback from anyone saying that, you know, thinking that you're trying to redo The Satanic Witch or anything? Have you heard any pushback on that?
Well, they're two different ideas.
Definitely.
I mean, Satanic Witch really gives women a blueprint of how to get what they want. And, you know, and recognizes their power, which we all recognize as men, that women have power over us, whether we like it or not, they do.
Absolutely.
But to understand that and to do the dance with them is the key. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of pushback on, you know, copying The Satanic Witch, but pushback on it being too red pill, so to speak, too masculine oriented, too toxic. You know, this is what's been happening in the last 5 years, especially.
Right.
There's some pushback on that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, I mean, I've read, of course, The Satanic Witch, and it is a great book. And I think men can take some things from that book that can apply to them as men. But like you said, it's mostly geared toward women, of course. But, you know, when I've read that book, I've always said to myself, before you came out with The Satanic Warlock, I always said, I wish somebody would have, you know, wrote A Satanic Warlock, or, you know, Dr. LaVey, which he would have, you know, did that also. And then when you came out with it, I thought it was just great and wonderful. And it speaks to men. It does something for men what, of course, The Satanic Witch didn't do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, men's place in the world has changed.
Absolutely.
Now, back when The Satanic Witch was written, it was in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And first wave feminism just began in those days with bra burning and equal rights. And you know, not that it was bad, so to speak, in theory, to have women have equality, because they do. And sometimes, as I said, they're even stronger than us in a lot of respects.
Right.
But men didn't need guidelines. So, you know, and also in those days, the family unit was a lot stronger. So dads, in most respects, kind of taught boys how to be men, or they were role models on how to be men, or their tribes, you know, showed boys how to be men, which kind of got lost after the end of the 60s when flower power came in and, you know, neoliberalism, I mean, really radical left-wing liberalism started to emerge, and men were emasculated to a point.
Right. Absolutely. Robert, what do you think that in these days, in this generation, what do you think men has lost? Like confidence, style? What do you think the biggest thing is men have lost in this generation?
Well, I don't want to, you know, include all men.
Right.
But many men, especially millennials, now Gen Zs, they have lost all of the above. they don't know where they fit anymore.
Right.
Because they become afraid of social interaction, especially with women. And it's just, pardon the expression, but it's a clusterfuck of Me Too movement and gender equality radical feminism and toxic masculinity, all of these buzzwords that have been thrown out. And then you add to that video gaming, which has created a surrogate world.
Yeah.
Young men just escape into that surrogate world, and they don't have to deal with the real world. You know, the whole idea of them sitting in their basement and becoming incels or whatever, and just not participating.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, that's almost become a norm. You know, and people are accepting that as normal. So, yeah, they've lost a lot of what masculinity used to be. And sometimes I even cringe at using the word, because I know people go, oh, masculinity, oh, that's bad. That's taking advantage of women and being assholes. And well, it's not.
Right.
Because, you know, as we know, men can be as kind and supportive as women can in some respects, but still they need to do what men do. And that is protect and provide,
and
penetrate the world, and literally penetrate women and other men, if that's your proclivity. But this is what we are meant to do. This is in our DNA. It's baked in. And although women will claim, we don't want men like that, we want men who listen and are attentive and take care of the kids, and Well, guess what? Most of them are either lesbians at heart, mm-hmm. or they have been barraged and buy into the PR and the extreme ideas of how women should be with men, or how men should be now in the submissive role. But as it turns out, after a while, they want that strong man. Right. They want that guy who can protect them.
Yeah, totally agree. I think, and tell me if you agree or not, but I think a lot of it is when it comes to men talking to women, you know, it's kind of like you said, they've lost that the way that, you know, you go and just have a conversation with a woman. And I think a lot of it is due to social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and all of those, because now instead of calling someone, we'd rather text or send a message or an email versus, you know, having a face-to-face conversation. And I think a lot of that is caused men to really not even know how to approach a woman anymore, because they can hide behind their keyboard. It's a lot easier now.
Absolutely. And you know, and then when they're shot down, they just click off, or they're ghosted, they just click off, and it doesn't bother them. And you can't know someone through texting or email or Facebook. You just cannot know who they are. It's not possible. We as human creatures, animals, we have to see people. We have to see with their eyes. We have to smell them. We have to see how they move. These are all subconscious things that our limbic system recognizes and says, yes, that person is attractive, or no, they're not, or there's something I like about them, or no, there's something I don't. There's a danger there. So if you don't have that, it's all fake shit. It's like I talked about before. It's the fakeness of video games, where young men escape into the world of video games. And guess what games most young men play? Games of violence.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't have the normal competitive spirit that men are meant to be. And I don't mean going out and beating people up, but men need competition. Mm-hmm. It's in us. It's inherent in us that we need to compete and win. The testosterone levels of young men have dropped incredibly. The sperm levels of young men have dropped incredibly. This is all based on the mind telling the body, well, you know, you can't do that. You have to hide. You have to be weak. And, you know, and these are the men back in the days of thousands of years ago, when we first, you know, evolved from apes, when the men who survived were the ones who can kill the tiger.
Right.
If you couldn't kill the tiger, or you couldn't kill a warrior who was attacking, you didn't survive. Mm-hmm. So by virtue of us being here today, our ancestors survived. So those genes are within us.
Right.
And to repress them is a big problem. Yes, absolutely. So answer to your question, I know it was a long answer to your question. the ability not to interact with people on a face-to-face basis, is terrible.
Right.
Yeah. How do we get out of that? Well, you just got to get off your ass and do it.
Absolutely. I had a buddy of mine, and this is no way a show hating on women or anything like that, but I had a buddy of mine, and he met a girl online, of course, on some dating app, and he went to pick her up, and he told me that he went to open the door for her to get in his car, and she just flipped out on him, telling him that, you know, she's capable of doing her, you know, opening her own door. And when he was telling me that, it's just like a lot of men today can't even really be a man, you know, and do the things like opening a door for a lady or even paying for dinner, it seems. Mm-hmm. Have you ran into anything or heard anything like that?
Constantly. You know, yeah. I do coaching through my Warlock site,
right.
SatanicWarlock.com, and I coach many men, and through the academy. Oh, I hear this all the time. And it's women have been brainwashed to thinking. Let's backtrack. Let me give you some explanation about how this happened. Now, within the last 20 years, young girls transitioned from, well, you can have anything you want in life. You know, the whole idea of girl power, G-R-R-L, girl power, and you are just as good as men, and men will take advantage of you, and you have to shatter the glass ceiling. And there was some benefits to that, but it got out of hand, and men became villains. Yeah, there are asshole men, but men are not the villains. You know, so women were weaned on this idea that they were entitled to everything. Now you add to that, and I hate to say it, but beauty counts. You add to that beautiful women who from an early age are told, oh, you're so cute, oh, you're so darling. They become the teacher's pet. All the boys kind of gravitate towards them. They get attention, attention, attention. This continues through grade school, through high school. They become cheerleaders. College, they become the girls who get all the guys, the football captains. And all of this just sets their mind up for, I can have any man I want, and men are inferior to me.
Right.
And you know, this is what causes, you know, men to get this constant backlash. Now, there was a scene, I think, in the old movie Goodfellas, I think it was, where maybe it was Bronx Tale, one of those mafia movies, where the young man picks up a girl and his uncle or his father tells him, here's the test. If she lets you open the car door, you know she's a keeper.
Yeah, I think that is Goodfellas, actually.
Okay, so, there you go.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, kind of going back in time a little bit, now, you worked for Playboy, is that correct?
I did, for almost 10 years.
Wow. How did you get into that?
Well, let me give you a little history on that. When I was a kid, my parents were pretty liberal as far as sexuality went. They never repressed the idea that it was bad. So from a very early age, I was looking at my dad's Playboy magazines. And this was in the late 50s and early 60s.
Oh, wow.
I was a kid, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, and I was weaned on Playboy magazine. And it just created this paradigm in my mind of, this is how I want to live. This makes sense. And, you know, reading Hugh Hefner's philosophy, and although being very progressively liberal in those days, which is, can't compare to today. I mean, it was a more sane approach about sexuality. That's what I was, you know, meant to do, I thought. And as a matter of fact, in Playboy magazine, it was one of the earlier issues, probably in the early, late 50s, they were selling Playboy cufflinks with the rabbit head on them.
Yeah.
And my mom asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want Playboy cufflinks. Playboy cufflinks, you don't even have a shirt that you can use those. I said, well, I wear pajamas, and Hugh Hefner wears pajamas, so I must be able to have Playboy cufflinks. Well, I didn't get them, but it was what I wanted to do probably all my life. And ultimately, not to belabor the story, but I became a journalist. Worked for newspapers, magazines, and then adult magazines. And then one of the adult magazines I was working for was preeminent in the online world at the time, where porn began to infiltrate the world through the web in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we were one of the pioneers in that. So I gained experience being able to transition the idea of magazines into the web and giving the same experiences. So all of that experience, creating content for the websites, via the also creating magazines at the same time gave me a leg up on most other people in the industry, because I knew how to do it.
Right.
Thus, I just interviewed at Playboy and got the job as an executive producer, which allowed me to touch all aspects of the company.
Okay. Nice. Now, was old Nick – how did that come about?
Old Nick basically is – you know, I was starting to be called Hef with Horns.
Okay.
And old Nick was my idea to combine the idea of Playboy and that lifestyle with satanic ideals and interests. And simply, that's what it was. It was for men with a satanic bent.
Right. Nice. Okay. Now, the SatanicWarlock.com website and everything, you've got the Warlock Academy.
Yeah.
What exactly is that and everything for people that might not know?
Yeah, the Warlock Academy is, for lack of a better term, a finishing school for men who have read the Satanic Warlock book and say, I want more. Mm-hmm. You know, there it picks up where the book leaves off.
Okay.
And we start talking about more important issues for satanic men, like what masculinity is, the warlock self, the basis of how to engage in the world. And, you know, it just kind of dovetails with your question about how do men get out of this bad situation where they don't talk to them. Well, the Academy does address that and explains why we do what we do and how to live the life carnal, how to be true men who are happy with themselves. Know, to be able to say, yes, I like that. No, I don't like that. And, you know, your buddy there whose girl didn't want to open the door, he should have said, okay, close the door and took off.
All right. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really what he should have done, because otherwise he's just wasting his time and it would be a battle. Now, what would she have done? Oh, said, fuck you, and walked away? Maybe. Or would have said, there's something about that guy that's different. And what that something would be is his indifference and his unneediness and his lack of need for validation. So all of those things would have registered with her. And what do all those things signify to a woman? That he's strong.
Right.
He's strong. He doesn't really need me to validate him. So this guy must be strong. And they don't even realize this, many women. But it registers in their subconscious that, you know, the deal. When you're a young guy, who gets all the girls? The bad boys.
Yep.
The assholes. Why? Because they don't care. And that signifies strength. There's a great equation. It's attraction plus obstacles equal desire. Attraction plus obstacles equal desire.
Nice.
And it's very true.
Yeah.
The less you show that you need someone, or you need validation from someone, or you need their approval, the less attracted they're going to be to you, especially women. Because women want the strength. They want to feel a man's strength. Why? Because they want to be protected.
Right.
Isn't that rocket science?
Right. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Now, with the Warlock Academy, is there a price to join, or is it free?
Yeah, it's not free. It is a price. You know, I do a lot of work with it, and it takes a lot of time. And it's usually a four-month course, depending, twice a month. And it's close to $1,000 for the course, which, you know, is really pretty cheap when you come down to it.
Right.
For all that they get. The first academy was very successful. Most of the men who were in it have done amazing things with their life. One of them actually created the Warlock Emporium online store.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
He did so well with it. Warlockemporium.com. Mm-hmm. And he's selling products based on, I licensed the Warlock name to him so he can sell products. Right. And others have done well in career, and others moved and bought houses. I mean, it's just, right. It's an amazing thing when men awake to what they're capable of and stop being mired in this nonsense that's being thrown around on the internet and cable television.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, kind of going back, and I know you touched on it a little bit, but sure. When and how did you realize that you were a Satanist?
It had to be when, I think most of us who gravitate towards Satanism, it started when we were kids with monster stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a name for kids who grew up in the 50s and 60s. They were called monster kids. And they would read Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine. And we would just, love the monster movies that came out at the time. And there were lots of them, all different kinds, sci-fi, monster. And it was most of my Warlock Academy students, and I think a lot of Satanists, men and women, were monster kids. They just liked the idea of the dark, titillating aspects of life. And basically because everything else is kind of vanilla and boring. So we wanted that, as Dr. LaVey puts it, the taboo, the feeling that it's the appeal for the forbidden. And that stuff was forbidden in normal ideas. So it started back then as a monster kid. And then somehow I kind of just liked what devil did. I liked reading about devil stuff and, even comic books as a kid, Hot Stuff, The Little Devil. And I just thought they were much more interesting.
Right.
And then with the Satanic Bible in my teens, it crystallized. And then, because, as teenage boys are as horny as can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sexuality becomes key. Mm-hmm. And Satanism was the only religion that kind of said, yeah, that's good. Do as much as you want. Do whatever you want. You want to be kinky. Just don't hurt anyone. Don't mess with kids, Everything else is a go.
Right.
So that was good too. That was a green light. And I think it was a coalescing of all those things. And as I said before, most people, when they read the Satanic Bible, they get it.
Yeah.
Men and women. they get it.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, I got one last question that I try to ask all my guests.
Sure.
And that is, what does being a Satanist mean to you?
Well, it's the way I live, by attaching satanic principle to all the things I do and the people I care for. Mm-hmm. That's what Satanism is to me.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, Robert, what's next? What you've got, any things in the works, projects that's coming?
Well, the Academy is keeping me busy. That's growing. People who are interested should really drop an email to me, information@thesatanicwarlock.com, information@thesatanicwarlock.com. The next class will probably begin in the fall. It's growing. I don't accept everyone. You must answer some questions, and you would need to be vetted before I will allow you. A working knowledge of the Satanic Bible, of course, is necessary, and my book. So men need to have that background before they're admitted. And that's really the prime thing that's taking most of my time, because I'm offering all of my knowledge, all of my wisdom in a pretty complete, concise course. And there are surprises, and I have special guests, and it's a fun time too. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the idea is when enough, the Satanic Warlock graduates become part of the Hellfire Brotherhood, which is an actual living orgasm. Organism. That's an orgasm too. It's a living organism that allows the brothers to correspond with each other, to help each other. It's the old lodge kind of model. You know, it's your lodge brother who will help you get jobs and give you advice. So, and they help each other. And it's shown that they are doing that. You know, some of them had visited me at my home last year, and they went on a special trip. So there's a lot of that. So ultimately, as the Brotherhood, the Hellfire Brotherhood grows, we will have conventions, we will have special salons, we will have events where men can get together as men again, celebrate their masculinity, and live the life carnal.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. Definitely looking forward to it. If there's anyone that wants to get in touch with you or wants to know more about the website and everything, where can people find you and contact you at?
Yeah, well, the SatanicWarlock.com is the website. That gives you a good basis. And again, information at TheSatanicWarlock.com is my email. So I do have someone screen them, but I do answer them.
Okay, awesome. And I'll definitely leave some links in the show notes below. Well, Magister Johnson, man, thank you so much. It's been truly a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show tonight.
Likewise, Blake, I always admire your abilities and what you do, and you're a stand-up guy working as a real man in the world, and that's a lot to say nowadays, but good for you.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, that's going to wrap it up for this evening. Thank you guys for tuning in. Y'all know the deal. Until next time, stay safe, and always stay demented.